this thing on? Because it's getting ready to be on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bell Ringer. My name is Greg. Your guest name today is Timothy Porter, the Chief Technology Officer at ModTech Labs. ModTech is a former 43 North winner and a part of Buffalo's growing film, gaming, and new media ecosystem. On this episode, we talk about ModTech, the touches they put on an end product that we all watch on the TV, their involvement in Buffalo, their trip through 43 North, and why they love living here in Western New York. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, so ModTech Labs is an automated tool system, and our entire focus is making the film industry just that much better. So if anybody doesn't know, the film industry, as much as it seems like it's super technical, there's a very small amount of individuals who actually have that technological capability. So what ModTech Labs wants to do, let's go ahead and democratize that. Let's do a nickname somebody gave us at one of the talks I had was a Prometheus effect. How do you take those things that only like, you know, five guys in the world can actually do? And how do we make it to where every studio can actually have access to those tools and those processes?
And what has changed? I mean, obviously so much has changed in how, you know, movies or TV is filmed, but for those that like don't really understand the process that you're saying or how technological it can be, I mean, what in the end product of what we're all viewing on the TV would a ModTech, you know, touch or at least change in some way?
Sure. So the very, very specific part that ModTech Labs focuses on is what's called IC VFX or in-camera VFX, which we very even deeper focus on what is called virtual production. So if anybody's seen The Mandalorian or if you watched The Lion King, there is a whole bunch of movement in the film industry to go from what was traditional render, fix it, and post to do everything all at once. So you have a post effects, you have VFX, everything all happening at the same exact time using video game engines. So I actually spent a lot of my career in video games as what's called a technical artist. So my job was to act as an interdepartment liaison. I also did a lot of work building tools and toys and automated systems. And then one of the very interesting things I did was what was called device-specific optimization. So my entire job was to make sure that on your Samsung Galaxy X6, your game was going to run exactly the same as on your iPhone 7, as on, you know, 90 other ones. If anybody's ever done Android development, there are something like 1,000 different SKUs of Android phones that are out there. And so our application had to run exactly the same. So what's happened in the film industry is you would go ahead and have a project, you would render it, and that rendering would happen for months. Now, instead of having big green screens behind people, you actually have LED walls. So everyone is doing everything all exactly at the same time. And so where our company actually focuses on is that thing that we're really good at, which is device-specific optimization. It comes out of my times building tools and automated systems that allow people to just focus on making the art. And so that's kind of the biggest thing is how do we make it to where the film industry falls back in love with making film again? It had begun being very siloed, where you end up getting things like Cats. Cats was such a nightmare because the director, the VFX department, the post department, free, everybody was all so massively siloed. And then the requests were, let's go ahead and fix all of these parts and pieces. Or Life of Pi. If you look at Life of Pi, what was the reason why it failed? It didn't fail monetarily. It didn't fail at the box office. It didn't fail and the Academy Awards. What it did was it actually failed the studio itself. And that was because the way that the industry worked was very heavy in the world of going ahead. And if you have something, you have to make a change over and over and over and over again. And everybody, because they're so siloed, ends up asking for these giant changes. And so if you can make very quick changes on the fly using IC VFX, which is in-camera VFX, using game engines, all of those different things, LED walls, then what we have is we have a much more cohesive industry and we end up getting better movies. And in the end, you end up getting more of that artistic vision as quickly as possible.
So the movie industry is obviously always been really concentrated in California. I think over the last last however many years, you start to see it spreading the wealth a little bit, you know, in Atlanta, Vancouver, obviously here in Buffalo, we've had a few studio projects. So how is it for you, you know, starting and running a company in this space, operating here in Buffalo? And we'll get to how you ended up here through 43 North kind of right after this. But, you know, obviously we're in a highly digital world, remote world, but, you know, how does that work on your end, growing a company in Buffalo, which might not be the first place that people think of when they think film and television?
The state of New York actually has, in total, the second and third largest incentives in the nation. Number one is Georgia. Georgia pays out $1.6 billion, and it possibly will be in the twos next year, while New York, as a total, has $500 million, $500 million worth of incentives. And one thing that we helped push through in all of course, the studios in upstate New York, including Rochester and mostly Buffalo, a lot of very heavy push in Buffalo, was to split up the incentives of the state of New York so that NYC got their bucket and upstate New York got their own bucket. So what you're looking at is next year about $200 to $220 million that's going to only go to upstate New York companies. And what's even better, unlike Georgia, unlike Florida, unlike South Carolina, unlike any other place, New York also gives incentives directly to VFX houses. So we are categorized as a VFX house. Typically, if I work with a LA studio, I will put my line on number in. That means I'm below the fold. So anybody who doesn't know above the fold, below the fold. Above the fold means that I get my money first before anything else happens. Below the fold means the studio's got to make their cash and then I get my check. Here in New York, I can go, hey, state, I'm doing this project and this project's going to be done in upstate. And the check goes to me. I don't have to wait for this for the project to pay me out. And so for anybody who doesn't know, we have an entire commentary. It's movies are made where money is paid. And so we all work at the speed of money and state incentives make it all go round.
Yeah. I think that's an important note for those listening that might not realize kind of the competitive advantage that Buffalo in some ways, and obviously New York State more broadly has, you know, beyond that, obviously ModTech Labs, and I think a lot of our listeners will know, won the 43 North competition. You and I are recording this. It won't come out the week, but we're recording this the week that the new cohort is moving in. So I'm sure you're having some nostalgia to those times. So I know you've done kind of the story a bunch of times, but I was wondering if you could just give us like an abridged version of just your experience of having gone through 43 North, you know, pitching on that stage, relocating to Buffalo. And then we'll get into your experience after having landed here. But I wanted to at least give you a chance to talk about the transition a bit.
Sure. I mean, I think the most interesting part on 43 North is as much on the outside, people see a game show. On the inside, it is anything but. You're built based off of metrics, based on culture fit, and based on environmental fit. And so ModTech Labs, obviously, we are one of the few groups that came through who was extremely focused on working in VFX and definitely being able to bring up what is, you know, Mayor Brown's huge push of bringing film here. Of course, Buffalo Niagara is all over that. The Film Commission, I apologize, Buffalo Niagara Film Commission is all over that. And then 43 North obviously is filling in that technological gap that is between them. And so for us, what you see on the outside is, you know, us going up there and, you know, giving a quick speech and like, hey, whoa, you know, like, and then, you know, claps and everything like that. Behind the scenes, it is diligence like only governmentally controlled entities could provide. Just insane amount of background talking to clients, talking to investors. So they call it up. You know, some of our clients, we were doing work with NBC Universal at the time, and actually they've come back around for some more projects. So that's good. So we're doing some work with them again. And then they did things like talk to our advisors. And, you know, typically when you get investment, and even at the round that we're at, you get maybe a quarter of the amount of diligence that you see, but they go through absolutely everything. So the one thing that I can tell you is if somebody gets $1 million investment and it is from Sand Hill Road, you know, so Silicon Valley, for anybody who's not savvy, they do a certain amount of diligence, and diligence means going through your company, making sure that, you know, all your T's and I's and everything's crisscrossed all the appropriate way. If you get an approval from 43 North, you are absolutely solid, like insane levels of solid. It is so high level of diligence that anybody within the first 6 months who wants to do another raise will very likely get that money, because 43 North pays, you know, not massive checks. You know, typically if you're talking about a seed round, it could be 5 million. If you're doing something like an AI startup, it could be 10 million plus. But 43 North, because they do such a heavy amount of diligence, and they also do really good indicators of what growth will be and will go towards, that is like a golden ticket for anybody who's looking for another level. So if anybody doesn't know and is like, oh, it's just a game show, you won $1 million. I'm like, yeah, no, we didn't win shit.
Well, they provide that same level of diligence after you land here and care mm-hmm. for companies, which I think is super important for all those companies' growth. You know, checking in, obviously there's the incubators here for the most part co-located, but also you know, staffing support and, you know,
yes.
marketing, all that kind of stuff, advisement, mentorship. So, you know, since you have been here in Buffalo, obviously with the help of 43 North, both investment and kind of that, those soft touches, mm-hmm. how's the company grown, you know, hires you've made, how have you continued to grow?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the one thing, and you know, before we move on too much, to talk a little bit more about the behind the scenes when it comes to 43 North, 43 North provides so much assistance to us. And I don't think anybody really kind of understands about how amazing that they are, even down to the point where we're going to be doing a trade show coming up in February, and they're helping us with banners. If I need, I'm like, oh, I need some, you know, pickups for, you know, some video shots and things like that. You know, if I try to go ahead and try to get a local or, you know, somebody that I know to go ahead and do those same things, you know, I'd be looking at, you know, mints, you know, five figures. So I'd be, you know, $20,000, $30,000. They'll do it free. And so that's all part of the fun stuff that you get with 43 North, including, like you said, hiring. There's Forge Buffalo, phenomenal at weeding it out. I literally have a, you know, if I'm hiring for a position, I'll go ahead and I'll have them fill out a 15 questionnaire, and they'll give the fishing 15 questionnaire and actually do the previews and all of that on it. So I think it's extremely important for anybody who is looking to come and try to do 43 North, as much as the diligence is a lot and the check size may be smaller compared to what expectations tend to be at this size, although with many people in down rounds, blah, 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 this may be a good, blah, 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 whatever. When it comes to all of that stuff, the stuff that you get, the secondary parts on it are absolutely stuff that you would be paying out the same, you know, $1 million to $2 million that you would expect to get on cash. You get with like really solid people that actually care about you and really want to make sure that your stuff is good to go. So how have we grown? Last year we went to something like 13 different shows. We have signed on a massive number of other advisors. Anybody who doesn't know film, this last year was the second Black Swan event in 4 years. 2020 COVID caused massive shutdowns. And this last year, when it came to actually, you know, the strikes, that affected absolutely everybody. And so when it came to things like revenue and things like that, it was a little bit more difficult for us, but we were actually able to go ahead and shore up a lot of our relationships, our technological stack, and we're already seeing a massive, like, you know, open the doors and like people are walking through the dead, like, help me kind of situation. Like, there was no Christmas break for us. As you can see, the very tired look under my eyes, this is not how I always look. Although sometimes it is. And so we absolutely have that. As far as hires go, we've gone up and we've gone down over this year, this last summer. And anybody who doesn't know, there are some really, really amazing schools in the area. If you're looking for weird stuff, like if anybody doesn't know, the advanced 3D scanning group that Amazon utilizes is actually at University of Buffalo. And so we actually have one of the writers of the paper that did what's called animated NeRFs or neuroradiance fields, so really advanced scanning technology. He's one of our interns. And you can get the same with marketing. There's a really phenomenal marketing and outsourcing group. But yeah, during the summer, we end up having, I had five interns. And then we had another two more interns. And then as far as marketing and sales and things like that. So I think the expectation is for us this last year really does feel a little like a reset because of the industry. But the expectations are, especially based off of our CFO crunching the numbers, we're going to see a massive growth to even the point where all of our advisors have come to us over the last couple of months and go, hey, I see all of these groups all like starting to reach out. How do we help you make sure that you can convert all of those to sales? So every single one of our advisors all at the same time, like within like a month period, hit us up and they're like, how do we make sure that you convert everybody who's coming to you to sales? And so that's going to be huge. It's definitely going to be huge. And then of course, with this year, with the incentives changing, where we had the 40-60, where Upstate New York ends up getting 40%, expect a whole bunch. I can definitely say, from our friends at many of the studios, expect some really large films to start rolling in. And then as well, expect many of the post houses to be extremely full. I know D-Post is very excited about a number of different projects that should be coming through. So.
Yeah, it's a good transition too. You mentioned some of the talent and school programs that you've been able to leverage. And then just mentioning D-Post, you and I and both our organizations a couple months ago participated in kind of a new media symposium, bringing together a lot of the film and gaming partners throughout Western New York into one room to talk about a lot of what you and I are discussing right now. How have you found, you know, now being here for a while? And like I said, you kind of mentioned it with the talent, but how have you found like those partnerships you've been able to make and kind of like the groundswell of a really burgeoning industry here that you're obviously a big part of?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so coming from Austin and coming from a lot of other larger markets that have entrepreneurial spirit in a much deeper tranche, there's a interesting expectation that you end up seeing from them, which is very opposite here, which is interesting, and you know, we'll go through it. So if you're talking about like an LA market, sometimes you'll see entry level people, but a lot of times you see a lot of mid level talent and a lot of senior talent. If you start looking at you know, the Carolinas, Florida, Louisiana, Vancouver, that same kind of thing happens. And once again, and this goes back to incentives. You know, we're talking about my life and how we were chasing incentives, chasing them, which means that those were the tail ends of incentives. Buffalo's the other way around. There is a gap of mid-level talent. There is a ton of entry-level talent and a ton of senior-level talent, with that mid-level talent being missing. And that is because there was no incentives and there's nothing to keep people here who were very talented. You know, they would end up leaving. And then, you know, as they got to their senior level, they go, hey, I want to go back home. They boomerang, hey, kids, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what people kind of do, go back and see family and things like that. And so the big thing that I think we're going to start seeing in Upstate New York, and I'm starting to see this a lot with a lot of the universities, is, you know, companies like us coming in, 43 North is obviously helping with that. You know, when you get startups and you get the entrepreneurial spirit kind of here, you get two things happen. And I know the this will sound a little really weird. You get companies that fly high and go really big, and then you get companies that blow up. And tell you the truth, when you look at that, companies that blow up are actually more important for the ecosystem than the companies that fly high. And the reason for that is when companies blow up, you get some really talented people who were originally going to leave the state and go to other places. They stay here, and then what do? They start their own companies. And that's extremely important, but you have to have the incentives and the money and the group to go ahead and grow that. And so we're starting to see that. And that's as I'm seeing, this is those, all of the things that I'm saying are very good indicators to show that Buffalo will do extremely well. And based on that symposium, Rochester has done a very good job at maintaining middle level talent. And we're seeing a lot of people that are graduating college that now have that 5 to 10 years experience who have either started studios or working at studios. So they're a couple of feet in front of us, but that doesn't mean that they're too far away. And actually that has been a massive consideration conversation that we've had, is to make a kind of a triangle coalition. If anybody knows about the triangle area in the Carolinas, you know, you end up having three major cities and all the guts between it that are very important. And so, you know, for us, obviously that's going to be Buffalo, Rochester, and then maybe down to Albany, who knows? We're trying to find the third leg, and you know, maybe just be the Twin Cities. Maybe that'll be the Jazz. But between us and Rochester, there is medium level talent, entry level, senior level talent for us, which ends up making a wonderful ecosystem. And so if Buffalo continues in the direction that it is, if this mayor and the groups that he is associated with continue being interested, continue with the shine, and then all of the other incentives, including anybody who's done Startup New York, just phenomenal. No taxes for state and even purchase taxes. That's phenomenal. If anybody doesn't know, we buy servers. Servers have a lot of tax. You don't have to pay that. As those things continue going, then you end up getting, you know, guys like me who are the mid to mid senior level talent. They stay around. And that's super important for this to continue to grow. And I'm seeing all the indicators based off of watching and jumping from company to company as I've gone along in my career. So I think I answered all the questions. Is that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I want to zoom out, and we have a bit throughout the entire conversation, but I want to zoom out kind of broadly and look at the industry. You mentioned the strikes that happened, the writer's strike and the actor's strike. You know, when you talk about like kind of the AI lean to all of this, there's, you know, talk of legislation and just like changing sentiment towards it. How do you balance that and also just how quickly technology itself changes as an entrepreneur and, you know, someone running a company?
Sure. I think, you know, and give you a little further background on this. My job at studios was to take white papers and non-commercially viable talent and things like that. And like, how do we convert those things to being utilized within studios? And actually, then when I started my own company, I had a company before this, called Underminer Studios. That's what we really kind of focused on. We worked with major corporations to go ahead and take ideas, thoughts, and apply them to technology. We ended up doing a project with like Stealth, which is a wheelchair manufacturer who's a child of Quantum Rehabilitation, which is the second largest motorized wheelchair. We're not talking about like hover rounds. We're talking about like Stephen Hawking stuff. You know, so we worked with them to go ahead and do VR simulators to teach people how to go ahead and ride in their wheelchairs. And if anybody who doesn't know the insurance stuff that's behind it, let's put it like this. The nastiest things that you could think about insurance, you'll hate them more. And that is because you're given about 10 hours in a chair to be considered proficient in driving your power chair. If you're not, then you'll never get one. If you decide to get one, your insurance will kick you off because you're a health risk. And so we worked very heavily with them to go ahead and create that, to go ahead and push that forward. So, you know, in our blood is the advancements of technology. You know, we ended up winning. We worked with CTA, which is Consumer Technology Association. For all my friends who are currently at CES, I hope you guys are having a fun one. CES is run by CTA. I was the chair for the XR, the Metaverse group, the AIML group, and also there's probably another one. I'll remember it eventually. But we ended up winning awards on the advancements of technology when it came to standards. So helping write standards for limited mobility and things like that. So I think the long and short in this, and a lot of people when they hear AI are afraid. Nobody fears the steamroller. Nobody fears the car. At the time, they did. These are new tools. And the biggest thing that we need is guardrails. That was actually something that I worked very heavily on while I was at CTA and have been at other trade organizations and standards bodies, which is ethics and AI. And the way that AI is currently utilizing intellectual property, and I'll say this in a very, very short fashion, is wrong. And we need to put rails on utilization of intellectual property because rights owners have those things. They have rights. And so we need to continue moving on that. And so how do we balance that? And how does my company balance the unfettered bleeding edge of technology and its utilization in the industry in general? We make tools that help people do things that they could only dream of. We build tools that advanced artists. I have a big, you know, heartfelt place for being able to take artists and you know, they go, I have this really cool idea in my head, but like, how would I ever do it? And then building a tool that helps them get from point A to point B. And that's all we do when it comes to AI. So we have an AI tool that we actually have in our system that allows us to simulate the differences between computers. So if you think about, you know, going back to the stages, virtual production, ICVFX, things like that, LED walls. I have my computer. My computer's here in upstate New York. I'm in Buffalo. Many of my clients are either in Los Angeles, Georgia, blah, blah, blah. They have computers that they're going to be running the content on. How do I make sure that the content that either runs or doesn't run on my system will run at shoot date on their system, on those LED walls that are run by computers with GPUs? And so you have an AI system. Its entire job is to go ahead and do the difference between the two of them. And so a system like that doesn't replace anybody. It doesn't reduce the need for work. And in fact, it helps increase margins by not reducing people. You're giving more, you know, lower level and mid-level talent, you know, step up. And in fact, if you look at the studies that go around AI, chat bots, things and chat systems, you know, we're talking about OpenAI and blah, blah, blah. Those actually help lower skilled workers more than it does a person like me who has, you know, advanced in certain areas. And that is because it fills in the gaps in the places where people like me don't have the time to help entry-level individuals that come in. So the long and short in this, how do we balance it? My company works very heavily to make sure that companies, major corporations, so if look at CTA, you know, in the AI group, there is people like Philips, Microsoft, Intel, you continue on. And my company helps influence those companies to do ethical things when it comes to AI. We help make sure that those standards are written so that all of us are on the same level playing field when it comes to the utilization of intellectual property and its effect on individuals when it comes to artificial intelligence, including data and data collection. On the flip side of it, when we create AI, when we create machine learning algorithms, we do everything we can to not replace people. We talk to the industry. We make sure that these are places and parts where there is not enough talent. Let's talk about people like me. How many people in the industry, you know, came from games, went to movies, have that talent and skill? I can honestly say they're paying $250,000 plus a year for people who have entry-level versions of my skill. And so how does a medium-sized or even a large studio do what they need to do? And so we build tools that help advance people who have skills who are like mine so that they can do more. So we're not replacing people, we're superpowering people. And so between the two of those and how the industry is moving, if you look at the new lines that have come through on all the contracts when it came, talk about writers and things like that, we were steps ahead, years ahead of what their requests were. And we've made sure that we don't do harm I think that's kind of the biggest thing is eventually, and I think everybody needs to come very deeply to terms. Eventually, a large number of individuals will lose their jobs, their current jobs, because of artificial intelligence. It's as simple as going from one style of economy to another style of economy. Computers replaced people who were computers. I don't know if anybody knows this. You had entire rooms of actuaries and people whose job, their name was computer, to sit there and do math.
Right.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And I think the biggest thing that we have is, instead of people being afraid of AI, if we embrace it and we use it, like we talked about, those lower skilled people being able to use this as a job step up, instead of going, no, we don't use AI at all. Those people will not be replaced. They'll be moved. You'll be moved from one segment to another segment in a place that is much more creative, much more useful. So there's your long and short.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate the kind of nuanced look at it. Obviously, you know, Buffalo and it sounds like the industry itself is lucky to have you and your company kind of thinking about things so thoughtfully like that. Before we wrap it, I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit. You know, we did a lot of the work and company type stuff. Just wanted to talk, you know, personally for yourself, you know, your family relocating to Buffalo from Austin, just how have you found like the quality of life and community for yourself and your family?
Sure. So if anybody doesn't know, my CEO is also my wife, and we also have two little girls, Nova and Callan. And so, you know, something always asked, people have is, do you have work-life balance? And the answer is no. We have work-life fusion. We homeschool the girls. And so they are currently in the apartment right now. I'm up in the office, and doing this, this podcast. And so I take breaks throughout the day to help teach my daughter how to read, or to show her projects that daughters, either one of them, you know, show them what we're working on. They've learned to do things like 3D printing, scanning. They've gone on sets. They've gone on stages. I think the thing for them is to figure out, you know, what they want to do. And I believe that with many of the changes that we're seeing, education is going to change massively. The big reason why we did not put the kids into public school while we were here, as much as it seems like that's an indicator of being involved here, is that we do go on trips a lot. And when we go on trips, I'm able to take my children with me. And so they went with me to the Linux Foundation and went to Marina Del Rey and all of these things. So we're able to go ahead and take them around everywhere as well. We take them, you know, if we do shoots, if we go to post houses and things like that. And everybody who has been here has been extremely accepting of us doing this. They understand what we're doing. They understand that this is part of working with us. And I think that's a big, you know, big indicator for the city of Buffalo. And you know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but guys my age are either managers at studios or don't work in the industry anymore. I don't know how many of my friends started having kids and they left the industry entirely. And so if you want an industry that continues to maintain mid-level talent and isn't just, you know, washing out, here's the new group of guys with really big hearts, you know, and they get knocked out every 5 to 10 years.
Yeah,
you're going to have to accept that, you know, we're humans. We have kids, we have wives, we have husbands and vice versa and everything in between. We got dogs. Take your dog to a shoot with you. Like, come on. This is like, if you're expecting humans to work 18 hours a week, expect shit's going to get weird. It's going to get real weird because your life is all in that bucket at that point. And Buffalo allows us to do that. I think that's super important for us. And that's been really nice that, you know, we will go from a Girl Scout event to a film shoot, like right in a row, and be like, hey guys, and like, oh, the cookies for the kids are over there. It's like, thanks. You know, like, you know, that's awesome. And so I think that's a cool and amazing indicator for the new family business. Because if you start looking, a lot of these new tech people are husband and wife teams that are coming in, and they go, well, you know, here's this big problem and let's work together to make it happen. And Buffalo is really interested in making that happen. We started watching that. So when we started in Austin in 2016, we were weird. Like, you have kids? What? This is weird. And then, you know, over time, it started becoming more like that. And then as we left, it was very accepting. And then, you know, as we came here, it was like immediate slide. Like, oh, cool. Like, people get it. Not always does everybody understand what you're doing, but they understand that, you know, as far as like what I do, as far as work and code and stuff like that. But they get that, you know, it's a whole package. And I think that's super important for the longevity of the technology industry, especially as we move forward towards, let's be honest, the unknown. Like, AI is going to do what it does. And if we all work together, then, you know, we're going to have a much more equitable move forward. So.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that you've kind of had that positive experience having come here, obviously, for yourself and your two daughters. We super appreciate your time and all you've done in partnering with our organization, especially of late. Before I let you go, we always do a couple what we call blizzard round questions. I'll give you a couple quick hitters. Number one, if you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Mint chocolate chip.
What's a book or a TV show that you'd recommend?
If anybody wants to get into comic books, look at Deceased.
Okay. How about,
it's from the DC universe and it's about a virus that turns everybody into zombies. Super cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's, do you prefer a text or a phone call?
Depends on the person. Some people are like, please, dear Jesus, just text me, please.
I get that a lot on the podcast. How about, do you prefer hiking or skiing?
Hiking.
You're in Buffalo now, Bills or Sabres?
I can tell you, going to both of them, I feel more connected with the Sabres.
Okay. And then the last question, most important, chicken wings. Do you prefer a drumstick or a flat?
Flats.
Okay. I'm glad
you're... I'll take both, and that's because my kids like drumsticks, and Alex, which is my wife, likes drumsticks because she doesn't like eating the meat off of the bone, and so she can fork it off easier, and I can also like yank it off her either. But let's be honest, there's nothing better than a flat. You just go, it's gone. Like
that's a match made in heaven. Drumstick,
isn't it?
Yeah, perfect. All right, thank you very much for your time.
Awesome, thank you, Greg.
Bellringer is a podcast by Invest Buffalo Niagara, the region's nonprofit, privately funded economic development organization, bringing new jobs for our neighbors and new investment for our neighborhoods. Come grow your business with us.